3 minutes to, you come up to the podium, say your name if you're not on the line, of course, say your name, and you'll have 3 minutes to discuss anything that is not on the agenda. It is not, we can't go back and forth, and but we can talk to you after the meeting to answer any questions that you might have. Is there anyone on the phone, Kevin?
Yes, the no answer.
The answer, thanks. All right, bring it back. Do we have any public comment for anything that is not on the agenda for anyone in the room? Okay, with that, we will close public comment. We'll go to the consent calendar.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Second.
Aye.
Second.
Aye. All right, and now we will go to item D, updates. Monica, please come up for electrical community center.
I just want to let you know that we will be rehabbing the main electrical panel here at the community center. I think it's from 1972. It's needs a lot of work, has some exposed wires. So tomorrow the community center will be without power all day, 8+ hours. We've been notifying, which means the pool can't be open, we can't pump chemicals into the pool, but everybody's been given plenty of notice. Cindy will be here all day. We will have the doors locked with the exception of the back so folks can still use the restroom coming in and that way to allow the electricians free roam with nobody tripping on wires and whatever it is they have to do. It should be done in 1 day. So I wanted to just give you a quick update on that.
Where's that at? Is that?
It's in the back IT room.
So you guys call it that?
The scary room? It's literally an archaic, the size of like a wall with a big lever that looks like Frankenstein would. And it's, we've had a lot of problems here, so we're finally getting, addressing that, so we're excited.
Is this a pretty massive project, or, I mean, just 1 day? So it's
1 day, yeah.
So it is just 1 day, you said it through the weekend, so.
No, but just tomorrow. Everything will be closed down tomorrow. We'll come back up. I mean, the building, the grounds, everything's open, there's just no power. So
we'll be back normal business.
Oh, by tomorrow evening, because we have Zumba. So everything will be done and we'll be open for our normal classes.
Anything else regarding that? Okay.
Not for the electrical update.
All right, and with that, do you have any questions?
I do not.
Thank you for the update. Now let's go to discussion items. F1, we will start with the Chamber of Commerce, special event permit for the Seafood Lobster Boil.
No, no.
Oh, you have another? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No,
sit down.
Okay.
Like, why is she still standing there? So I wanted to give you a Parks, Landscape, and Recreation update for the months of July and August. So as promised, I'll continue kind of giving a U.S. schedule. This is what we did in July. You can see how much time it takes in a month to mow, mowing alone. And then you can see I put in there the streets that we are hitting with clearing, whether it's weeding, spraying. So we've gotten quite a lot accomplished in July, and then in August, same thing there. We've been hitting Vicksburg between Park and Ride all the way down to Point of Timber, kind of hot and heavy. It was a real mess, so we've been spending a lot of time, almost done, maybe one more day out there for that section. but that's what the schedule has looked like as far as what landscape is accomplished in July and August. Wanted to show some before and after of Ravenswood Park. So Ravenswood Park had those concrete posted rails all around that were original, and that were causing quite a safety concern, actually, because they were deteriorating, crumbling. We replaced some about 5 years ago, and a So we went ahead and removed everything, and it really opened up the park beautifully. I've been getting a lot of positive feedback on that. So just wanted to share a few pictures so you can kind of see how bad it was if you never get over to that side. You can see those with the exposed rebar, rusty rebar. It was not a good look or safe. Next slide is, if you haven't had a chance, please drive down Clipper. We did a what we called a picket fence project, and we reached out to, these are just a few of the pictures, but we installed them. The Liberty High, Heritage High School, Vista Oaks, and Excelsior art departments got their students to create these picket fences, and it's really added some real pretty color and local art from what our kids are doing.
We got nice comments.
We have heard, yeah.
Yeah, I've got people going to talk about it.
Yeah, they feel real nice.
Have we installed all of them, or do you have?
Yeah, they're all, that's, the pictures aren't all of them. There's more.
No, yeah, no, I said.
But yeah, no, everything's in. And then I wanted to share with you from some of the classes that we have going, and we've got tumbling and stretching, just so you kind of have, people can have an idea of what goes on here and keep promoting our classes. And the next one is a Kinder Tots class, and they do some like dance movements and learning Kinder Tots, so they're like a little preschool type of thing, but they love it. The teacher's great. These are just some examples of pictures of our swim lessons, which we're really thrilled that we got so many in and that every class filled up. It doesn't look like it, but we run small classes. That's most beneficial for the kids. So there's some examples of that. And then the next slide is, you know, I think you hear me talk a lot about our in-service. We take it very seriously that we keep our lifeguards constantly in training, doing backboarding, saving each other, practicing. So this is just a sample example of some of our in-service training. And then I wanted to share with you, we are wrapping up the aquatic season. Swim lessons is now over. Weather permitting, of course, adult lap swim, we will hopefully run through the end of September, as well as water fitness. Rec swim will be ending September 19th. And just to kind of give you some perspective, I went ahead and added the dates for each of those and how many participants we had for each category as of August 23rd. So I think forgetting about a month's late start, I'm really, really thrilled with what we've accomplished.
Yeah, I definitely like to give you kudos because we were tenuous whether we even have a swim season, and I think you really turned it around with what you had to work with. So, nice job, and congrats.
Yeah, that's
and to all your staff and team,
absolutely.
You know, not just you,
yeah.
But to everyone.
Yeah, thank you to Cindy. I don't know if she's still here, but she's a huge been doing that.
Did we send the class information to the schools that we do? I mean, would they share it with to our local schools?
We used to, and there was some turnover at one point with superintendents and principals, and I don't believe we have a contact, but I can work with Cindy on that.
Yeah, that would be a good thing to do. Okay. Anything else?
That's it for that report. Thank you. I'm just going to stand up here because I'm pretty sure I'm going to.
Now can I go to the?
You may.
Okay. So, Chamber of Commerce, would you come on up, Tony, so you can talk about the lobster boil?
Yeah, so let me just explain. The Chamber of Commerce has filled out an application to have, they're requesting to have a seafood lobster boil here. Attached is two applications that they completed, and then we invited the president to come up and speak about it and give you the opportunity to ask any questions.
Hi, y'all. So, do you want to know about it? Okay, so first time ever that the Chamber has done anything like this. It started off thinking about doing a craft team. Time went on, craft decided that we would do a seafood boil, sort of family style. Food is dumped out on a table, and it'd be sausage on top, potatoes, and then garlic bread, Caesar salad, and everybody gets a homemade lobster. So we're targeting about 150 people. Pricing is right now $135 a seat, or table 8 for $1,000. We're talking about doing a special intro price for the tickets to drop at $25 until 10-1. So that's what we're planning to do. We have wine is being donated by Campbell's Vineyards, and I've made contact with Markstein Beverage for beer service. ABC permits filled out, all permits filled out with the county. We have a commercial kitchen by MP Catering. We'll be using a food truck to prep and serve out of, so there's no need to have any involvement with this building. We've got porta potties lined up, got insurance lined up, everything's ready to go, just looking for approval.
So, how many tickets have you sold as of today?
A handful.
Yeah, I think it's way more.
Yeah, we just launched ticket sales last week, so we sold about a handful. Some of them, those of us who were in the chamber, of course, at this point. Target is 150. So.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people talking about it, so I hope you hope it does well. And so people will come through the side gate?
The side gate, we'll have a table there to check in, get wristbands, check them in, because it's a sold ticket event, other than the public. Nobody can do tickets at the table. They'll all be pre-sold, just like we do for the gala. Check people in, give them a wristband if they're over 21. If they're under 21, we have sodas and water available. I don't think we'll have any kids for this, but we're not limiting it by age.
Okay.
And we'll sell drink tickets for beer.
Now, learning from my friend here, now what do we need any security? Do the people who are selling the alcohol know, you know, when to say no to somebody if they appear?
So I'm a certified bartender.
Okay.
I used to pour for Campos Wines in the tasting room, which was kind of a fun thing to do. So I'm a certified bartender, and it will be myself and one other person manning the alcohol areas. So we will have that. We do not have a plan for security. We do have a plan for volunteer parking management to have people parking legally on this facility, and then moving across the street as we need to for.
Do you have any questions?
Not really. I just make a comment that this is what the community center needs. We've been talking about how we can bring additional events. So I think it's awesome that you're stepping up and saying, hey, I'll be the first guy. And, you know, as I told you earlier, you know, I know the town wants to work with you to make sure your event is successful within our capabilities and stuff. The only comment is October could be a squirrely month. Do you have a plan B if it rains as far as bringing a tent? I mean, because you could, you know.
I mean, we can definitely look into tents. I've got a contact for a rental facility for tents. We're hoping for decent weather.
Sure.
Of course. This is not a great money-making opportunity. We're looking at this as the initial thing from the chamber, see if it goes on an annual thing. So renting $3,000 tents would be interesting to the bottom line, but we'll have it on reserve.
Yeah.
I just throw that out there just to keep that back of your head. I mean, at the end of the day, neither Carolyn or I don't think are here to hinder you at all. You know, we just want to make sure you'd be successful. So.
And I'm glad to hear about the farmer's market. As you know, we were trying to get the farmer's market kicked off earlier this year, and you know, the two associations we were working with just couldn't fit us in. So I'm ecstatic that we're talking to you guys about that, because this is where we want to have it as well. So that's perfect.
Oh, right. Yeah, absolutely right. We're anxious to see the community center used for what it should be used for.
Yeah, we're looking to do more stuff.
No, that's wonderful.
So is your vision then to have just tables adjacent to the pool area?
Yeah, exactly. So the food truck is going to park along the tennis courts on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it'll serve out of. We'll have long tables, and then we'll have around 8-person tables closer to the entertainment. We're going to have a 3-piece kind of jazz band playing. So those tables will be closer to the music. But long tables is the primary family style.
Potentially, there could be pickleball people playing while you guys are serving. I don't think so. I was kind of, Sunset is at 6:20.
Right, yeah.
We close at 7, I think, is the facility, 7:30, so.
At that time of year, it will be probably 6:30, because we will be, it will be dark, so we are open according to how much light there is, but Tony and I have had lots of conversation about this as far as the fact that there, he knows the challenges, there is no lighting, they would have to bring in those things. And to answer Director Graham's question, it is all the same, and like I said, Tony and I have been communicating, so it is all the same conditions of approval as we ask every organization to do. So nothing is different as far as that goes.
Yeah, we're going to bring in a generator, we're going to have some of the oaky string lights put up around the table so it gives a nice ambiance to it.
Perfect. All right, congrats. I think it's awesome.
Yeah,
I wish
absolutely.
You the best of luck.
So our plan is to recommend it to the...
I'm not even sure.
Does it go to the, it doesn't go to the board?
I don't think it needs to.
Absolutely. Okay.
I want to see the community, I mean, not just me, I think the community center should have the autonomy to make some of these decisions on their own.
And that's absolutely fine with me. I just know I definitely jumped through hoops for the last one, so
That's a little more complicated of an event, too.
Yes, absolutely. All right, well, I guess you are good to go.
Excellent. Thank you much, guys.
Businesses and they've all been successful for the most part. And as you guys know, with what's going on in the economy right now, interest rates are high right now, real estate's really, really slow right now, and so I'm looking for a different area to go into, and this is, I think this will be a great thing, again, for the community and for everybody, and everybody else. We've done a lot of research, too. We've been going out to different farmers markets. We've been talking to farmers, too. Like, to give you an example, in Brentwood, a lot of the produce over that sold in Brentwood or Livermore and Pleasanton, it's the produce being grown by the farmers are going for about $4 to $5 a pound on average. It's almost more expensive than the store, right? So we went out and talked to a bunch of farmers in Galt, and they're selling a lot of their produce for around $1 a pound. And it's beautiful produce. So we're gonna try to bring in a lot of stuff that's discounted for people. See, I figure if we can bring in a lot of produce to attract people and a lot of other events, they'll want to go there every weekend. And that's the whole point behind that as well. You guys have questions right now? Because there's a lot. I built a business plan, kind of an overview for you guys. And we crossed every bridge and dotted area and crossed every T. And we understand about the permits, the contracts. There's a lot that have to be developed to launch this company. That's why we kind of have a tentative launch date in February. We got to set the company up. Like I said, there's a lot. We're out there talking to vendors. We got a lot of interest in vendors right now. And, yeah.
Okay, so one of the first questions. So this is your first venture in having any experience with farmers market?
This is my first venture.
Now, and is there anyone working with you? Are you working with any organizations that have done this before?
Not yet, but we will be.
Okay.
We're just out there talking.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm very familiar on opening businesses and running businesses, mm-hmm. and own several businesses, so.
Okay.
My whole family's in the restaurant business. My family's owned 27 restaurants.
And so,
so
now you've been going out and talking to a lot of people. So what else? What are you doing to attract vendors? Just mainly talking with them, or are you?
We're going out and talking to vendors that are already currently operating right now.
Mm-hmm.
They already understand the licensing process and the permit processes,
mm-hmm.
and we've talked to over 100 vendors so far. Majority of them interested in doing it with us. So. It's kind of a mix. We have a vision of doing not only produce, but artisan crafts, wholesale consumer goods. And I think we want to make this a family environment, so we want to set up a whole kids area as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, processed foods, already cooked foods, you know, food trucks that we understand the designated area in Discovery Bay, in this community center where the trucks got to be located with. Other than that, so like I said, we've been doing a lot of research in what should required
mm-hmm.
from a vendor to be able to sell any type of items in this market.
I think it's a fabulous idea. What are your thoughts?
I've been saying for a long time it'd be great to have the farmer's market to return. I was involved with farmer's market when I was across the street when I was with the chamber.
Uh-huh.
So if I could, I'm trying to understand. So when we did the farmer's market back then, my memory's correct, there were several organizations that are already in place that I think we had was the Pacific Coast Farmers something or other that used
right.
to do ours over here.
Right.
Are you trying to differentiate yourself, or are you trying to work with? I'm just trying to understand.
No, we're differentiating ourselves from it.
Is there a reason why we would not want to bring in the existing, you know, companies?
Well, we understand the mechanics of what it takes to do this, and a lot. Like we went to, for example, went to Manteca last week, and there's no marketing going on to drive clientele here, you know. So we understand what's involved and what needs to be done to make this a success, and you know, we don't need to piggyback off of anybody.
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting. I'm just trying to understand,
yeah.
you know, where you guys are kind of coming from, and did you talk to the Century Management as far as utilizing?
No. I haven't talked to anybody that came right here because I wanted to be on the lawn area back there. I didn't want to be stuck in a parking lot somewhere. You know, I'm kind of more. I don't know. I've seen you guys do concerts out on the lawn area, and it's a really nice setting out there.
Oh, it's wonderful.
So
yeah.
Kind of
it is.
The lawn area. And then when we found out from Cindy, because we've been working with Cindy, that we don't have to go through the county and go through all that headache. either. You know, everything's done.
It's a different permitting process by coming over here, for sure.
So it makes it a lot easier for us on the starting this. We understand the logistics of setting one up. We understand how far apart, like, the spaces need to be to allow emergency vehicles, just in case there's an emergency. We understand that we don't want anything being cooked. Needs to face the walkway of people walking dogs into the dog park or anything like that. So we understand, again, what needs to go on, how this thing needs to be built. Like I said, we've been working on this project for a long time. We're just introducing it to you guys now. So
yeah, it sounds like it. That's great. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I don't think Carolyn and I are here to prevent any guys. We want to grow things.
I'm just trying to help you guys understand.
I
think the biggest concern, though, and I just don't know, and this is something you're going to have to work with Monica on, if this facility is really conducive for that type of event. I know when it was across the street, you know, you have this massive parking lot,
right,
which allowed for all the vendors to come directly to their spot with their trucks,
right,
open their van doors up, and just, you know, we sell right out of their van.
Right.
You know, I don't know if that works on our grassy area back here to have big trucks going back there. And, you know, during the winter time, these are just things that are kind of popping up in my head. You know, maybe there's enough room in the parking lot to accomplish with the number of engines. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there that you're going to have a lot of conversations probably.
That was a little bit of our concern, too, like how they're going to get their stuff back there. And, you know, I think they're going to have to just dolly a lot of their stuff back there because, once again, over, if you look at the one in Livermore, it's all set up in lawn areas, too. So, and they're all getting their stuff out there. And we're recruiting a lot of vendors from that location as well. So we're basically going out all around the locations, talking to people. We're trying to get a wide variety mix of different things. We don't just want produce. Like the one in Pleasanton is strictly produce. And it's boring, right? You walk through it, you're done in 5 minutes. Nah. We want people to make this a daily outing, you know, and have fun. And if you can make it a family effect, and again, I want to touch on that again, and it's in our business plan here. People aren't doing anything these days, right? Have you seen kids lately? They're going to their iPads or their cell phones and doing nothing, right? It's like, I don't know, technology's, I think it's hurting kids. It's not up to me to decide that or not, but I think they need some more family events going on, besides playing sports.
Monica, question for you. So what are your thoughts on how they would drive their produce in down? They just go down the cement path?
No, everybody would have to cart everything in.
Okay.
My bigger concern, that's why we're here, so
yeah,
I have to voice my concerns and
absolutely
give you the opportunity, is that you're asking for a year-round event,
that's right,
and that's just not, in my opinion, feasible for our lawn. In the winter, when the irrigation's off, it's a soggy mess out there. And we have a lot of problems with the infrastructure of our irrigation and keeping that lawn green. So if it has to be off every weekend for a farmer's market, we're gonna have brown dead grass. Our lawn and the way everything was done, as far as where sprinkler heads are and things like that are, so for events, we always have to turn the irrigation off a day or two depending on what the event is. But if it was something every weekend and we can't irrigate when it's 100 degrees outside, that will be something that the committee and the board needs to consider as being problematic for the appearance of our lawn.
So that would be just the one day that it wouldn't be able to be watered? Would it be just the Saturday? Or are we talking about multiple days that you could not water?
It's weather dependent, right? So when we don't irrigate in the winter months, that's not a problem because it rains and so it's off, but if it's raining, you're not going to have it out there because it is a slushy mess.
Soggy mess out there.
The area floods quite bad out there. The walkway, everything, our front entrance, things aren't irrigated properly. I mean, graded properly. We have a big flooding problem on the ground. So winter is problematic. Summer, have we turned our irrigation off for a concert or a movie in the park just a few times? And our lawn starts turning brown. So this is something.
Yeah, and we don't necessarily, we're in the weeds a little bit right now.
Right.
But you know, just talking out loud, I think a lot of that stuff, anything can be overcome. You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, the grass area has to be utilized all the time, because, you know, the parking lot could be utilized depending on how many vendors. So So it's just a matter of working with the community center and Monica and just kind of bouncing ideas back, and eventually you guys are gonna come up with something, a business model that makes sense. And,
yeah, for everybody.
And
our biggest thing is, it's a lot of time and effort and money to set this up. Okay, so we don't wanna just do one for a weekend, here we are, and we're done for a weekend. That's why we're trying to get a 1-year commitment. Actually, I wanted a longer commitment than that, and Sneak was telling me that you guys would only do a commitment a year at a time. So, but it's a lot to set this whole company up. It's just not, okay, we're gonna do a farmer's market, let's do it. No, it's a whole lot, and it's kind of outlining it in our business plan a little bit, but that's what we do.
Yeah, I had a chance. Are you thinking once a month or four times a month?
Four times a month, every weekend, every Saturday, and we're gonna close during holidays, December and January, basically.
I like your enthusiasm.
Really?
I really do.
You know what I've done in my life, you understand.
So Monica, next step is, now that we've given some feedback and we can give some more, right? We have other comments to make. Then you're gonna sit down with them and start going through this step by step. Is that?
Yeah, we'll sit down, go over all of the conditions of approval, everything that's needed before we bring it either back to the committee or to the board. I will then address all of the concerns that staff would have as far as what that would look like for the grounds, the property, the building, everything else, other events to commit to it. Thank you. To commit to every Saturday. We have so many other events that go on.
Yeah,
so
is Saturday a mandated day? Could be a Sunday, because it seems like there's a lot. Like the pickleball people have a lot of events on Saturdays. So.
Yeah, Sunday. Unfortunately, she works as a manager at Western Digital, so in San Jose. So, and I need her on this team. We also have Pam here, who's the best friend that's going to be helping as well. So. And then for backup security, we have Tom.
He looks a little intimidated with that cast on.
Yeah, we can go through, lay everything out,
and figure out alternatives for
bring it back to either committee or board, whichever you would.
Are you guys looking? Are you obviously there's going to be a fee from the community center. I have no idea what that is going to look like at this point. It's probably too soon, but that's also off to be a discussion item as far as what you're asking us to shut down and not shut down and everything else.
I don't understand the question.
There's not a question. I was just making a statement.
Oh.
Just smile, nod your head.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we all do. Just joking. Okay, is there anything else? Do you have any other questions you'd like to ask? No, we're enthusiastic about it, and so we're going to be anxious to see how this.
I'll reach back out. We'll have a transcript.
That would be amazing. Thank you guys for your time, and again, I've tried to lay out most of the stuff in that overview, so if you guys have any questions after you read that, we'll be more happy to come back and answer any questions. Okay?
Yeah.
So thank you guys for your time.
Conduct an asset and condition assessment. So we're going to go around and look at everything that we've got, parks, facilities, our landscape areas, what condition are those in, when's the last time they were replaced, are they up to code, do that deep dive assessment for us. They're going to evaluate our recreation services. What are industry best practices? What are our staffing levels? Does our program model fit with what other agencies are doing? And provide us recommendations on how we can improve importantly, they're gonna do a lot of community engagement. We're calling for a kickoff meeting with staff, at least a presentation, three board of directors meetings where they'll solicit input from the full board, three park and rec committee meetings where they're gonna solicit input from this committee, public workshops, and then public pop-up and outreach events that this team of consultants will be doing in our community, in all parts of the community, to engage as many people as they can. What do they want to see in this town in the next 15 years, 10 to 15 years? And that's really the timeline for a plan like this, is 10 to 15 years. So they'll engage the community. They're going to then identify those future needs, given our build-out, given the growth, given what we already have. Where do we need to make improvements? Where do we need to expand? Where do we need to upgrade? They'll do that. They'll develop those, they'll actually develop the plans and if for each individual facility that we have, each park and community center, what physical improvements are needed. Cost estimates, engineers' estimates, to some extent. These won't be full blueprint plans, but they'll give us a much more detailed granularity than we have now, which better positions us for grants, better positions us for the ability to pass that funding, where we've got plans like that. So that's one thing that they'll do. They're also going to develop a CIP, again, for the landscape, community center, all the parks, and help us phase that out over a set number of years, how we can actually achieve all of the things that we're talking about in this plan. And then probably most importantly is the funding strategies. How can we actually achieve that? Both in the short term, looking at our fees, doing a comprehensive fee study, how can we increase the revenue that our programs are bringing in today, but also to weigh options and to look at things like a Prop 218 style assessment or a sales tax measure, something that the town and board of directors would be able to consider going out to the residents for and really increasing revenue substantially for Zone 8 and Zone 9 to implement this plan. And so that they will provide that data, that funding assessment, the strategies on how we can do that as well as outlining the RFP. The estimated schedule in here is a fairly long process, right? As we're asking for a lot. So as it is tentatively, assuming the committee is good to go, we'll have this open for proposals as soon as this Friday, and post September 4th. We'll do a pre-bid meeting on September 15th where we can answer questions for any of these consultants and then staff will go through that. We'll have a deadline for the proposals by October 5th. Staff will complete the evaluation of proposals and give you our recommendations, more than likely the top two or three proposals. And then we actually have some time scheduled for interviews on November 4th, 10th, with this committee, with staff potentially, still kind of up in the air how we do that, but to actually bring these firms in and kind of grow on the plan a little bit and tease out exactly their expertise, what we're looking for, an interview. And then we'll be able to bring that award of the contract to the full board, ideally by the last meeting of November. So before we do any kind of reorganization or we take a break for the holidays, we'll be able to award that contract in November. The project will kick off with staff in January 2027, and we hope to close out the project December 2027. So it's about a 12-month timeline to fully implement that plan. And then that plan will be presented by the consultant with staff to the full board when it's built. So that's the estimated schedule as it stands. You have the full RFP in your packet that again goes into more detail on kind of everything that's specifically outlined in there. But I will pause at this point to answer any questions or clarify anything.
Do we have an estimated not to exceed budget?
We do. We do anticipate it to be a pretty wide range, and so we don't really want to commit to a specific number, but we do anticipate it to be north of 100,000, ideally over 200,000 or so. So somewhere in that range. We don't have that in this actual RFP, so again, we're giving them what we want, and we're gonna take whatever proposals we get, and then ultimately it'll be the board's decision whether which proposal we go with based on the set of criteria that we're outlining. Staff has identified funds, monies in the Hoffman Fund, that could be used to fund a portion of or cover the entirety of this master plan. And so again, depending on that number, staff will prepare a recommendation for funding as well, whether it's the entirety from the Hoffman funds or some set amount with some other funding that we can pull from other buckets. This would be funded by both Zone 8 and 9 because it does, it is for both zones.
It wouldn't be for the entire, all the zones?
It would not be, and that's, you know, again, as I outlined in staff report, it's one of the unique things about the town, and because we don't own Zones 57, 35, and 61, we can't, and really shouldn't, plan this kind of plan for facilities we don't own. We just maintain them at a very basic level, we maintain them, right? So.
And the county wouldn't be interested in participating in our master plan?
It's a conversation that we could approach, but it just becomes very difficult and messy because it's, again, it's their funding, it's their parks, it's their decision makers, the board supervisors would be involved, as opposed to this being ours and managed. And so it.
I assumed you thought about it, but I just wanted to say it.
The partnership with the county ideally will be in approaching them for funding. Right, for some of these projects and partnering with them in different ways to implement the plan. But I think as it stands currently, this plan should be for the CSD's owned facilities only.
Okay.
Is my opinion on it.
No, I think this is wonderful. I think it's probably been a long time coming. And, you know, it's not, you know, some people say, well, why are we spending money on that? I mean, you gotta, you know, think bigger and think what this could do to improve our town between the landscaping, parks, and rec. I mean, and again, going for grants, which we've talked about before, and you say, well, we've got a master plan, we look somewhat professional. No, I'm just kidding. And so, no, I have no issues. What other questions do you have, Ray?
Just a observation that I think you're going to have to, you know, if you're going to be the governing person, you're going to have to manage this, because I can see how these guys can easily go off in lots of different tangents, spending our money, bringing back stuff that, well, that's nice, but we already knew that, you know.
Yeah, and this will be, it'll be a team effort. Monica and I primarily will be involved in that, and obviously she is the most instrumental in dealing with the day-to-day, the nitty-gritty of why things are the way they are, and the history and how they
sure.
got there. But yeah, from a high level, I'm going to try to keep us within the confines of what's in the document and not let scope creep kind of sneak in here. But
I just mean, we don't need to pay them $10,000 for them to come back and say, oh, you know, Monica would be great if you had a couple more classes, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, some rose bushes would be nice.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I do anticipate there to be some fairly simple recommendations that they give us just in terms of updating fees. You know, if we haven't updated fees in 6 or 7 years, that, you know, those are those kind of simple things that we'll have to start doing more regularly anyways. And so there may be some pretty, I'll say, you know, kind of low-hanging fruit that they'll,
which is fine.
But it'll be paired with the ambitious long-term planning. If we have the money, these are the things that we can do.
And could this, I'm just kind of talking out of the box here, could this also be a time that we look at this and say, we could add an ongoing tax and give some free classes or no longer charge for X, or?
That would be for legal, that's a gift of public funds.
Okay, but if we were taxed, no, I'm just saying, okay, so we couldn't.
That would be a question for legal, so we could possibly.
We couldn't open the pool, you know, every other Tuesday. Okay. All right.
Yeah, it could potentially be a gift of public funds, but that's a question for legal.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Yeah, and again, they'll. What's nice too is when they're doing the community engagement, we can field lots of ideas and then be able to tease out which of those we can and can't do. But it'll solicit all kinds of, you know, ideas from the board, from staff, and from the public. So we'll get all kinds of great ideas.
Any other questions?
Mm-mm.
All right, and with that, are we going to make a recommendation, or?
Yes, make a recommendation. Would
okay.
you like us to pursue this and bring it to the board?
Yes.
Yes.
And just to be clear, the plan as it currently is that this We don't need board approval to issue the RFP, so we would take the RFP out, get the results, and then when we're ready to award.
Then it comes back, yep.
Back to this committee for discussion and then to the full board to make that decision, but this will go live on Friday.
Okay.
If that's the feedback.
Good deal. Well, we've been talking about this for a long time.
So is there any way we could include repairing all the sound walls in this? I just thought I'd ask.
That's a stretch.
You know, just gotta throw these things out.
Yeah, yes. I think maybe they can throw a line in the report about the aesthetics and how it would be, but yeah, without owning them, similar to the point about the county zones, we don't have any control to spend funds there, so.
Okay, worth a try. All right.
Good try there.
All right.
I love your enthusiasm.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, any future agenda items?
Nope.
Okay, and with that, 5:16, we will adjourn the meeting.